Speak a little bit about Shabbos Shuvah. The Haftorah of this week is Shuvah Yisrael. It was said by Hosea, Prophet Hosea, who was a descendant of the tribe of Reuven. And the Shabbos is called alternately Shabbos Shuvah or Shabbos Teshuvah. It's the Shabbos of Teshuvah, being part of the 10 days of repentance, Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. And it's the Shabbos where we read the Haftorah that starts with the word Shuvah. I always like to say that that's the purpose of the Shabbos, to change it from Shuvah, which is a command, repent, to Teshuvah, to doing it. So on that Shabbos, we're supposed to change the Shuvah into Teshuvah. Okay, in any case, there's a medrash that I've said in the past many explanations of, and there are many more explanations besides the ones that I've said. The medrash says the following: Omar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeRuven. Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Reuven. Reuven sinned when he moved his father's or his mother's bed, or his father's wife's bed, out of their bedroom. What happened was that as long as Rachel Imenu was alive, she was the main wife. And she shared the room with Yaakov, and the other wives had their own separate apartments. And when Rachel died, Reuven assumed that his mother Leah would now take the place of Rachel. And Yaakov moved Bilhah, Rachel's handmaiden's bed, to take Rachel's place. And Reuven thought that was a tremendous affront to his mother, and in order to champion his mother's honor, he moved the bed of Bilhah out of the room. And the Torah says that for Reuven, on Reuven's level, the immodesty of doing such a thing was so great that it would be compared to a regular person actually committing adultery with his father's wife. Right, for Reuven, on the level he was on, it was tantamount to that. That's how bad it was. That's how immodest it was. And everybody's judged on their level. So for him, it was considered tantamount to a person on a regular level doing such a terrible thing. And says that Reuven Lemaisa repented from that sin. And he spent many, many, doesn't say days, hours, years, whatever, repenting for that sin in sackcloth and in fasting, whatever. So the Rabbanu Shel Olam said to Reuven, "May Olam lo chata adam lefanai va'asa tshuva, v'ata pasachta b'tshuva tchila. No one ever sinned, right, before me, and did tshuva, and you are the one who opened tshuva to begin with. You opened with tshuva to begin with. Chayecha, I promise you, sheben bincha Hosea, your descendant Hosea, poseach b'tshuva, will also begin with tshuva. He'll start with tshuva, shenemar shuva Yisrael." Very difficult medrash on two points. First of all, Reuven was not the first person in history to do tshuva. Right? No one ever sinned before me and did tshuva till Reuven came along. It says that Adam HaRishon did tshuva. Kayin did tshuva. In fact, it says that the Rabbanu Shel Olam, Adam met Kayin as he came out of his judgment, and he asked, "What happened to you?" And he said, "I did tshuva, and part of it was forgiven." And Adam HaRishon composed then Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos in praise of the concept of tshuva, which we'll see what that has to do in a second. So, plenty of people did tshuva before Reuven. So doesn't mean Reuven, when nobody ever sinned and did tshuva. Adam and Cain are examples right away. Secondly, Hosea was the first prophet to start telling us about tshuva. There are plenty of prophets before Hosea who spoke about tshuva. So why does it say Reuven was the first one to do tshuva and Hosea was the first prophet to speak about tshuva? It's not true. Neither side is true. So in the past, I've said various answers. I'll give you one that I think is a major answer. and that is that no one ever sinned before me, it says, in front of me, right, in my presence, and did tshuva, meaning the following. Up until that time, people did sins, they knew they were sinning. Adam Arishan ate from the Eitz Hadas, he knew he was doing something wrong. Cain killed his brother, he knew he was doing something wrong. Reuven did what he thought was a mitzvah. He thought he was championing his mother's honor, and it was the right thing to do. No one ever did a sin in my presence, meaning that he did it in a way that he thought it was a mitzvah. He thought he was doing me a favor. He thought he was doing a mitzvah in my presence. And Reuven still did tshuva. Hosea also is talking about those kinds of sins. Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha ki koshalta bavonecha. You stumbled in the sin, meaning you thought you were doing a mitzvah. Many times we do sins, we know we're doing sins, but a lot of times we think that we're doing something good. We fool ourselves into think we're doing something good. Those are the hardest sins to do tshuva for. Because first you have to really come to grips with the fact that you fooled yourself. That it's not just that you had justification for it. You really thought you were doing something good. You thought you were doing a mitzvah. That's the hardest kind of sin to do tshuva. No one ever sinned in my presence, meaning doing it, thinking they're doing me a favor, doing me a mitzvah. And did tshuva till Reuven came along. And Hosea spoke about, and that's why in the parsha of the Haftorah, it ends with Ki Yisharim Darchei Hashem. God's ways are straight. The Yisharim Yelchuba, straight people walk in them. Uposhim Yikoshlubam, and sinners, stumble in them. And the Gemara says it's talking about people who do a mitzvah, and they both think they're doing mitzvahs. But a righteous person does the mitzvah the proper way, and the person who's not a righteous person does the mitzvah in a way that he stumbles in the mitzvah itself. The mitzvah becomes an avera. Those are the hardest averas to do tshuva. That's one answer given in the past. Then I want to say a little bit different idea. That's the following. If you look at the Shari Tshuva says we find sources that there are two components to tshuva. One is stop doing the sin, and the other is regret doing the sin. Which comes first? Do you first regret doing the sin, then you stop? Or do you first stop and then regret? Says the Shari Tshuva, there are sources that say first comes the regret and then the stopping, and there are sources that say first comes the stopping, then the regret. So he explains, it depends what kind of sin. A sin that you've done out of character, right? A one-time quirk. So you probably will regret doing it while you're in the midst of doing it. And then you'll stop doing it because you regret it. But a sin you're in the habit of doing, it's hard to regret because you're so used to it, you're accustomed to it. It says if you do an avera twice, it becomes like something permissible. You consider it permissible. So it's not, if you wait till you regret it, you'll never stop it. So those sins you have to force yourself to stop, and then the opposite takes effect. As you get out of the habit of doing it, you can regret it more, right? Even though I never smoked, really, once in my life I smoked a cigarette, right? But I imagine people who smoke can't regret smoking. They enjoy it, right? But if something happens that makes them stop, right? The doctor tells them you're going to get emphysema, you're going to get lung cancer, whatever, you better stop smoking. So they don't want to stop, and they don't regret smoking, but they have to. So they stop. And as they stop, more and more, they can look back and regret it. But when you're in the midst of it and you're addicted to it, you can't regret it. But the more you get farther away from it, the more you can regret. That's what the Shari Tshuva says. And he says that the word shuva, right, represents the, what's it called, the stopping of doing the sin, and the acharei shuvi nichamti. Shuva means to stop, go back, stop doing the sin, and nichamti means I regret it. Okay, it's all different, but the word teshuva really means to stop to do the sin. Okay, so I wanted to say like this, a different idea, different kind of. When you stop the sin first and then regret it, and when you regret and stop the sin. And it's related to two kinds of tshuva. There's tshuva me'ava, and tshuva meyira. Tshuva that you do because you're afraid of the consequences of the sin. Right? You realize you did something wrong, you get punished, so you don't want to have those consequences. That's called tshuva meyira. And there's tshuva meyara, where you realize that you've strayed from the Rabbanu Shalom and you want so much to come back and get back to God that out of love for Him, you want to stop doing the sin. So I want to say like this. From tshuva meyira, the first motivation is the... So this, I think, went off. Just turn it over. You better do it. Okay. Tshuva meyira, the first motivation is I regret doing the sin because I'm afraid that I'm going to have suffer the consequences. And because of that, I stop doing the sin and remove myself from it. Tshuva me'ava is just the opposite. It's not so much I regret doing the sin, but I realize that when you create a sin, commit a sin, you distance yourself from God. You put up a barrier between you and the Rabbanu Shalom. Right? The sins separate between you and God. You've distanced yourself from God, right? And even though God doesn't go away, but you've created a barrier between yourself and the Rabbanu Shalom. The sins are a barrier between you and God. They break up that devekus, that attachment that you could have to the Rabbanu Shalom. So a person who's motivated by, I feel like I'm estranged from God and I have this tremendous desire to get back to patch up our relationship. And I love him so much that I want to be attached and I don't want to be have this barrier between us, then the first thing is stop doing the sin, because the sin's a barrier. So break down the barrier. My main concern is I want to break that barrier. Then I can have regret that I did the sin and it has implications and repercussions or whatever. But the main reason that I'm motivated to repent is because I want to break down the barrier, and the mela, I want to return to God. The regret is only secondary. By tshuva meyira, the regret is the major thing that brings me to then to stop to do the sin. Okay. That's the case. Reuven, what the Medrash means is the following. Reuven, like we said, did something that he thought was a mitzvah. Right? And he couldn't regret doing it, because you can't regret doing mitzvahs. So his first thing was, why did he do tshuva? Because he realized that by doing what he did, even if it was something that he thought was justified and he couldn't regret, but he estranged himself from his father. Even he was right in doing it, but his father he estranged himself from. And from there he understood that he estranged himself from God too. And therefore, even if I did something that I don't regret, but if I've created a barrier between me and God because of that thing, then even if I don't regret the sin because of the bad repercussions, but I feel bad that I made a barrier between me and my father. And I understand I made a barrier between me and God, because not being connected to my father, who's Yaakov Avinu, means I'm not connected to God either. So what motivated Reuven to do tshuva was the tshuva part, the shuva, the return. Not so much the regret. Therefore, that's what it says. When Adam HaRishon sinned, his main motivation for tshuva was the fact that he was afraid he was going to die because of it, and he was going to have all these punishments, right? And he regretted it, and his tshuva was motivated by regret. And that's what brought him to commit himself not to do it again. Cain, the same thing. But Reuven was the first one to sin and do tshuva, meaning where the first stage was the return, not the regret. And Hosea also. Hosea was the first prophet to exhort the Jewish people first to return to God rather than to regret their sins. All the prophets speak about all the terrible things that happened because they sinned and all the terrible things that were going to come happen to them, and they motivate them to repent based on the regret, the remorse. Hosea was the first prophet to exhort them to return before the regret. Shuva Yisrael HaShem, return to God. That should be the motivation. And then Koshalt Bavonecha, the fact that you failed and there's something to regret, that's a secondary thing. So Reuven was the first one to put the return before the regret, and Hoshea was the first one to exhort them to return before the regret. Now I was thinking that that is what's special about Shabbat Shuva. The whole Aseret Yemei Tshuva, we're basically dealing with regret and remorse. We're saying, Slichos, forgive us, we're sorry, we did something terrible, we're embarrassed. That's all the Slichos. Slichos is regret. I regret the sin. I'm afraid I'm going to suffer the consequences. I know that God is inscribing me and sealing me for the coming year. I'm afraid what's going to be. So the whole Aseret Yemei Tshuva, except for Shabbos, we're involved in the, what I would say, the regular procedure of tshuva. First, regret the sin, be afraid, tshuva meyira, and what's it called, and repent. Come Shabbos, we don't say slichos. And we're not remorseful, and we're not thinking about the negatives. Because Shabbos, you have to be happy. So what is the motivation for tshuva? What makes the tshuva on Shabbos? Shuva, return. Right? On Shabbos, we feel this tremendous closeness to God. Shabbos is like Olam Haba. Right? You have this tremendous pleasure with Shabbos, which is what Olam Haba is. Right? Sadiqim sitting and basking in God's presence. Shabbos, we become partners with God in the creation of the world, and we look forward to the goal of the world, which is the world to come, which Shabbos represents. So we have this tremendously close relationship with God. And Shabbos, we can appreciate more, not the remorse because we did a sin that's going to have repercussions, but we built barriers between us and God. And Shabbos reminds me, I don't want those barriers. I want to be able to be a partner with God in creation. I want to be able to bask in God's presence in Olam Haba. I don't want something that separates between me and God. So Shabbos, what leads to the teshuva is the shuva, return, not the remorse. So Shabbos, teshuva, shuva, has this idea. And that's why it says on Shabbos, when a person says vayichulu, two angels come, put their hands on his head, and say your sin has gone away. Because when a person has that tremendous desire to be close to God, it automatically takes away his sins. Because the sins are the antithesis of being close. Sins distance you. Sins create a barrier. And when you want to become close to God, you want to be a partner with God in creation, and that's what Shabbos is, then automatically the sin, the barrier, disappears. But it's motivated by the return, not so much by the remorse. And that's why Adam HaRishon, Kayin, their tshuva was motivated by remorse. And then they returned, they wanted to return to God. But Reuven was the first one whose tshuva was motivated first by a feeling that he distanced himself from his father and Mela from God, even though the remorse didn't come till later. Okay, and we said that that's more. Now, that's why Adam HaRishon composed Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos when he heard that you could do tshuva. What's that mean? Mizmor, what's the difference between Mizmor and Shir? Mizmor comes from the root of Zemira, Zemer. Zemer can mean to prune. Karmacholosizmor. You prune a vineyard. What's pruning? You take the excess branches, you take them off, that induces the plant to grow better. Okay, it's something you do externally that induces the plant to grow better from the outside. Shira comes from the word yashar or lashur. It's something that comes from the essence itself. Torah is called a shira. Torah is called a song because Torah represents the essence of a person's existence. It says everything in this world sings a song to God. What does it mean? It means its essence represents what its purpose is. That's its song. The song of a something is its essence. The essence of everything is the Torah. So the Torah is called a song. But the Torah is not called Zemiros. David HaMelech made a mistake and referred to the Torah as Zemiros, and he was punished. That he forgot that you have to carry the Torah manually. You can't put it on a wagon. He put it on a wagon. What's the connection? A Zemira, like we say, is an outside stimulus. David intimated the Torah was on outside stimulus. It wasn't the essence of life. Therefore, you can separate it from the person. You don't have to carry it. Put it on a wagon. It doesn't have to be part of the person. It's an external thing. Because he made that mistake. That's called a terrible tragedy happened, and somebody thought that the Aron was falling, Uzzah, and he went to support it, and he touched the Aron and he died. The idea is the same thing. You think you're supporting the Torah. Torah supports you. It's your life. Torah doesn't need your support. Torah supports you. So all of that goes together. Don't think the Torah is a zmira. It's not a song that is an outside stimulus. It's the very essence of your existence. Shira it is. And that's Hazinu. Hazinu is called a Shira, and it represents the whole Torah. It represents our relationship with God. That is the Shira of the Jewish people. God is our essence. God is our very life is an attachment to God. The Atam Advekim Bashem Elokechem Chaim Kulchem Ayom. Our life depends on our attachment to God. And when we break that attachment, we don't have life. So Shira Sazinu tells us, when you have that attachment, you got the Torah, I'm your source of life. When you break that, you distance yourself from me, then all terrible tragedies occur to you because you're separated from life. That's what this Sedra Hazinu is. And the whole Torah is called a Shira based on this, because that's what the Torah is. The Torah is your source of life. You separate yourself from the Torah, you separate yourself from life. So, therefore, the Mizmor Shira Liyom HaShabbos means that other Marishan said, first you have to stimulate yourself to want to feel that Shira. So by Adam, it happened first, the regret. I regret all the terrible things about the sin. That's the outside stimulus, and reach the idea that the Shira, that the real problem of the sin is that I've separated myself from my source of life, from the Rabbanu Shel Olam. But I have to come to that with the Mizmor, and that leads to the Shira. But Lamaisa, what's it called, the highest level, is what Hosea tells us. Forget about the regret. Realize that the main thing is that you've distanced yourself from the Rabbanu Shel Olam. That should be the main motivation of tshuva. And all the repercussions and the downside or whatever should only come later. But the main thing you should feel is a desire to come back closer to God, even if you don't regret the sin. That should be the main motivation. And that is Shabbos Shuva. On Shabbos, we have that first feeling of return before we have the feeling of regret and remorse. The whole week, we're involved in the regret and the remorse, and that should bring us to the feeling of return. On Shabbos, it should be just the opposite. First, feel the need to return. And then that'll lead you to feeling really regret and remorse. And I was thinking that's why the minig is on Shabbos Shuva to have a long drasha. Right? The Medrash says that when the Chacham, the Rav, right, stands before the people and gives a drasha, the Rabbanu Shel Olam atones for their sins. So I usually tell my Balabatim that's because of Yisurim. Right? Yisurim are a kapara, and you have to sit and listen to a long drasha, so you don't say that. But the real thing, I think, is that since the whole idea of Shabbos Shuvah is that connection to God, that attachment to God. How do you attach yourself to God? Through the Torah. The Torah is the attachment to God. So by having this extra long drasha and feeling that attachment to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. And how do you attach yourself to God? Through attaching yourself to Talmidei Chachamim. And the Rav in his place is considered a Talmid Chacham. Maybe he's not. He has a din of a Talmid Chacham because he happens to be the rabbi. So attaching yourself to the rabbi and sitting there for 2 hours and attaching yourself to the Torah by listening to a lot of Torah and a deeper Torah than people normally hear creates that attachment. That's what Shabbos Shuvah is all about. It's emphasizing the aspect of sin that detaches you from God and the desire out of love to want to reattach yourself as opposed to having remorse and regret about the repercussions and the implications and the negatives that sin causes. That's tshuva meira. Better on Shabbos to have that tshuva me'ava. Okay. Any questions? Yes.
At the beginning, you were speaking about. Okay, well, I wanted to ask again, could you explain the mizmor again?
Mizmor shir?
You explain the two words, mizmor and shir.
Mizmor, there's a word in Hebrew that refers to pruning a vineyard, a vine. Mm-hmm. It's called zemira. Okay. So I was thinking the word zemer, zemira, comes from that. It's an outside stimulus that induces you to grow, to feel good. You sing a song or whatever, zemiros of Shabbos, it's a stimulus. But it's an outside stimulus. As opposed to a sheer is the expression of your essence. Therefore, David HaMelech mistakenly called the Torah a zmira when he should have referred to it as a shir. The Torah is not an outside stimulus. It's your very essence. It's the expression of your very essence. That's the idea. We also have a pasuk, Ashira Lashem Bechayai. I'll sing to God with my life. Azamra Lelokai Baodi. Why? My essence of my life I express in Shira. Odi means the extras of life, the things that you add on, the things that you stimulate yourself to add on to that essence. That's Zmira. That's an outside stimulus. The other one is the expression of the essence itself.
Also, when you said when a person says Vayehu on Shabbos.
Right. So he becomes like a partner. God finished, but he wants us to continue what he left as imperfect. He wants us to perfect it. So a person becomes a partner in creation. At that moment, a malach comes, put his hands on his head, and says, your sin has gone away. Meaning, when I reattach myself to God, then the sin isn't there. Because the sin is a barrier. When you take away the barrier, you take away the sin.
Okay.